hitter, I guess. Michael Kogan is the director of the Office of Data and Program Development at the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, which is part of the Health Resources and Services Administration, or HRSA, in Rockville, Maryland. And he's going to speak today about, I can't even pronounce it all, so.
Well, good afternoon. I'm presenting for Dr. Mary Bassini, who couldn't make the conference, and she sends her apologies. I'm presenting today on discontinuous health insurance coverage among U.S. children with special health care needs. It's an analysis of the 2005-2006 National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs for Health Services Planning Coverage. Does this not work? Okay. I see the slide's not in there for no financial interest, so I guess she has some financial interest that I don't know about. She started off with a little bit about the survey, so I'll just pick up on that. The National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs is a nationally representative survey of actually around 40,000 children. It's the largest study of this population ever conducted in the United States. There was a national survey of the same population in 2001. It was slightly smaller. It was designed to provide information at both the national level and the state level. So there are about 750 to 850 children with special health care needs per state. They were found through a screener on children with special health care needs. About 200,000 households were sampled to get this particular sample. And if you want actually a wonderful website, if you'd like data on your state or the national area on children with special health care needs, I recommend you go to this website, www.childhealthdata.org. It's an interactive website. You can get instant information. You can break it down by varied analysis, and you can even do some multivariate analyses. And let me just give you a little bit more background survey, just to pick up on what the previous speaker says about telephone surveys. This was a random digit dial survey. It used the survey platform of the National Immunization Survey. And the survey results are all weighted to account for households where there's non-telephone coverage. There were a number of categories in this national survey. You can look down the list. I'll just highlight a few and then add one or two that aren't there. Health and functional status, we have a list of specific chronic conditions like asthma, attention deficit disorder, autism spectrum disorder. We're using information on utilization here and unmet needs. There are various factors that go into having a medical home, such as care coordination. We have that information on that, family-centered care. Health insurance, which obviously I'll be talking about, an impact on the family, a number of SES characteristics as well. In addition, we were in the field in 2005-2006 when Hurricane Katrina hit. We had to obviously leave the field for a few months and went back with a special module in the Gulf states to examine how kids with special health care needs, what their needs were, how they fared during the evacuation following Hurricane Katrina. So in this study, we're looking at discontinuous health insurance coverage. By that, I mean, was there a period without health insurance? Did the child have a period without health insurance in the year before the survey interview? Rightfully so, significant attention has been paid in this presidential season to people without health insurance. We know that 47 million people in the U.S. are without health insurance. We also know that about 15 million children are without health insurance. What's less well known are the numbers of children who have intermittent insurance. which is what the previous speaker was starting to get at as well. And that's an actually as great or greater of a number in kids who are without health insurance. Other research has shown that kids who have periods without health insurance are more likely to lack continuity of care, to lack a personal provider or nurse, to have delayed care, and to have unmet health care needs. Now, this session, the focus is on vulnerable children. Obviously, children with special health care needs are a very vulnerable population. In the 2001 survey, about 13% of kids in the U.S. were deemed to have a special health care need. In this particular survey, which I'll mention later, again, about 14% had a special health care need. So while 14% of kids are deemed to have a special health care need, they account for about 42-43% of all health care spending on children in the U.S. Now, for those of you who are not familiar, children with special health care needs are defined as children who have a chronic physical, developmental, behavioral, emotional condition, who also require health and related services of a type or amount beyond that required by children generally. And there's usually a time component. You expect the condition to go on, has been going on at least a year, or expected to go on at least a year. So our research question was, what factors are associated with U.S. children with special health care needs not having continuous health insurance coverage? Our study variables, independent variable was the question, did you have a period without health insurance coverage in the last year? The independent variables we based on the Adey and Anderson access to medical care model. Now, using that model, we looked at predisposing factors such as age, race, ethnicity, family structure, education, and primary language in the household. Need factors, we looked at whether a child had whether the parent reported that a child had a behavioral or emotional condition. And mental health care, we looked at whether they had unmet mental health care needs or no unmet mental health care needs. We looked at specialist care, whether you had unmet needs for that or not, and whether the parent had to delay or forego care for the child in the previous year. Enabling factors, those most amenable to change, were poverty status, whether the child had a usual source of preventive care or not, whether they had a personal health care provider or not. We looked at financial stress in the family. Did the health condition cause financial problems for the family or no financial problems? And whether the family needed additional income to cover medical expenses or no additional income was needed. So in this survey, we used bivariate and multivariate methods to look at this question. We used logistic regression with Sudan, which adjusts for the complex survey sampling. The results were, as I mentioned, in 2005-2006, we found that about 14% of U.S. children had special health care needs. That's around 10 million children in the U.S. Now, she has a figure of 10,221,438.5 children. Let's go with the rounding part. It's rare that I've met a 0.5 child. And further, almost 30% of children with special health care needs qualified on the screening criteria for having ongoing emotional, developmental, or behavioral conditions that require treatment or counseling. Further, we found that almost 9% of children with special health care needs had a period without insurance in the previous year. Now, that's not even taking into account the children who were uncovered for the whole year or were who did not have health insurance at the time of the survey. You add on to that, it brings it up to about 12-13%. Now, other research has shown that, in fact, this group is more likely to have insurance than children in general because of their needs, parents may sacrifice more or be more motivated to have health insurance for their child. So even with this vulnerable population, a high percentage of children had periods without health insurance. Now, life is short, so I'll go right to the multivariate analysis. What we found is that looking at predisposing factors, kids who were less than 4 years old were significantly more likely to have a period without health insurance. These are the kids who, as you know, need to go to a physician more based on American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines. They should be seeing visits more. It's the earlier you pick up some conditions, the more likely you are to ameliorate the conditions, such as autism spectrum disorder. Further, Hispanics were about 34% more likely to have a period without insurance. This is congruent with other studies that have shown that even controlling for other factors, Hispanics are more likely to have periods without health insurance for their children. Looking at family structure, those in two-parent stepfamilies were, as well as those in the general category of other, were more likely to have gaps in insurance compared to two-parent biological or adopted family, children in two-parent or biological. I used to be able to speak English at one point. Children who were in two-parent biological or adopted families. Further, parents whose education ended with a high school degree were about 19% more likely for children to have periods without health insurance compared to those with more than high school education. Now, getting into need factors. Families of children who had emotional conditions were 22% more likely to have periods without health insurance. Children who had periods without health insurance were 6 times more likely for their parents to report that they had delayed or foregone needed care in the previous year. The categories, I guess what I want to say here is at all periods, at all poverty levels below greater than 400% of poverty, families were at greater risk of having periods without health insurance. Now, the greatest risk was not below the poverty level, less than 100%, but at 100 to 199% of poverty. And that's reflective of other studies. Now, that may be because that group is what you may refer to as the working poor, who have more income coming in but may not have benefits. It also may be an indication that at below 100% of poverty, there's more of a safety net. Kids who didn't have a usual source of preventive health care, they were 93% more likely to have periods without health insurance, as were those children were at greater risk who didn't have a personal health care provider. Now, looking at enabling factors, child's health care caused financial problems. When families reported that, they were 42% more likely to have reported that there was a period without health insurance. Also, families needed more money because of a child's condition. They were 90% more likely to report this. Finally, there's some limitations to a study. First, this is a cross-sectional study. Secondly, the data is reported by the parent and is not confirmed by medical records. We make the assumption that respondents understood the questions and answered completely, and that health conditions and needs were reported and not confirmed through exam and documentation. In conclusion, in reference to the Anderson and Adet model, all the enabling factors were significant. Anderson's proposed that enabling factors are more mutable to change. So if we were to focus on policy, you'd want to focus on improving the enabling factors. These findings support the need for assuring continuous, uninterrupted health insurance coverage for children with special health care needs and policies to decrease the financial burden on families. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Kogan.